This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Marc Boulanger. This is the Radio Labour News Briefing for the week April 26th to May 2nd. In a remarkable outpouring of support for unions, labour rights and social justice, millions of workers and their supporters participated in activities on May Day, International Workers' Day. However, May Day events were suppressed in a number of countries, including Turkey, Belarus and Cambodia. Labour events were also held on April 28th, the International Day to commemorate dead and injured workers. The day was especially poignant this year because it came as the first year anniversary of the Rana Plaza disaster in Bangladesh was being recognized. On April 24th, 2013, a garment factory building in a plaza near Dhaka collapsed, killing 1,219 workers, mostly young women, and injuring 2,500. In China, an unprecedented strike by almost 30,000 shoe workers ended after 2 weeks when police began arresting workers. The workers produced shoes for companies such as Nike and Adidas. They were protesting the company's non-payment into a pension fund. In London, millions of commuters were affected when underground subway workers held a 72-hour strike to protest job cuts and the closing of ticket offices. The union, the RMT, is planning a 3-day strike next week. In South Africa, negotiations to end a 3-month strike of platinum miners broke down when the workers rejected the latest offer from the three companies involved. In Cambodia, some 20,000 garment workers went on strike, but the government quickly used police and military to end it. And that was the news briefing for the week April 26 to May 2nd. This is Radio Labour. May 3rd is World Press Freedom Day, a day established by the United Nations to raise awareness of the need for media freedom and recognize the role journalists play in the development of society. A particularly troubling aspect of media freedom and the media's role in reflecting society back to itself is the number of journalists attacked, even killed. I talked to Jim Boumela about the killing of journalists in the world. Mr. Boumela is the president of the International Federation of Journalists. The IFJ represents media unions at the world level.
The IFJ has been gathering statistics for the last 15 years. And every year it publishes on the 1st of January the list of journalists and media workers killed the year before. But for all these years, this report has been a very tragic roll call of journalists killed and recorded the death of over 1,500 colleagues, including the 105 who died last year, victims of targeted killings, bomb attacks and crossfire incident. But all this revealed that regional conflicts, drug wars and political unrest continue to create killing fields for journalists and people who work with them. And one of the most important lessons, to learn is that the vast majority of these journalists who die, and the many thousands who were injured in vicious attacks, they're not international correspondents in war. They are just normal reporters and editors in peacetime who die in their own countries and targeted for doing their job, which is trying to bring the news that keep their citizens informed.
What does the IFJ do to help journalists around the world?
Well, the IFJ has got 160 unions around the world, and every time a journalist is killed, we all join together to demand action from governments and world bodies to stop the killings and bring the murderers of journalists to justice. So our call and our mobilization has always been geared up to our affiliate unions to ask them to help us not only on every single occasion when a journalist has killed, so that we are a body of people that are protesting and that are in the world that it is happening, but also in terms of the work that we are doing. You know, for example, in terms of political lobbying, we have been also for all these years trying to put impunity at the top of the political agenda, because we think that the solution to impunity will be when government starts rigorously applying their laws against murder to the killers of journalists.
You can hear an extended version of my interview with Mr. Bumela on the Radio Labor website. And, as a side note, I am an accredited member of the International Federation of Journalists. There are more than 53 million domestic workers in the world, about 80% of them women. Most of them are migrant workers living far from their home countries and families. Most of them are not covered by national labor laws in the countries they work in, so they suffer from excessive work hours, little time off, few benefits, if any, and no access to health and safety measures. However, the global struggle to help domestic workers is building. For example, in 2011, the International Labour Organization, the ILO, created a domestic workers' convention which, if adopted by countries, provides domestic workers with the same rights as any other worker in the country. Local struggles are intensifying as well. Just recently, domestic workers and their representatives in Hong Kong petitioned the government to improve the wages and working conditions of domestic workers. Radio Labour's senior correspondent, C. Marie Ainsborough, reports.
A petition signed by more than 100,000 people from 160 countries calling for better treatment for domestic workers has been presented to the government of Hong Kong. The petition asks the government to take immediate steps to stop abuse of foreign domestic workers in the territory. Hong Kong has 285,000 domestic workers, most of them women. Almost all of them come from the Philippines and Indonesia. They find their jobs through recruitment agencies, and 60% of them have reported that they have been overcharged by these agencies. They perform duties such as cooking, serving, cleaning, dishwashing, and childcare. They are required to live in their employer's house, which often results in no time off from work. They are tied to a particular employer, so they are not allowed to look for another job in the territory and must leave the territory when their contracts are finished. Elizabeth Tang is the General Secretary of the International Domestic Workers Federation, the IDWF. She told the media that it is time the government understood that people all around the world want the abuse of domestic workers in Hong Kong to end. The petition was organized by the IDWF, Amnesty International, the International Trade Union Confederation, and Walk Free, an NGO working to end modern slavery. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here with his regular report about the activities of Labor Start, the labor movement's news and campaigning service, is Derek Blackadder.
Every 6 minutes, a new story about a union somewhere around the world is posted on Labor Start. Here's a sample of what appeared on our English language pages the week of May Day 2014. Our top stories section included links to stories about May Day events around the world, but especially those where the suppression of labor rights was reflected in violent attacks on workers. Labor Start sends its solidarity to all those injured and arrested on what should be a day for celebration, especially those in Turkey, Iran, and Cambodia. Across the globe, we had coverage of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are some highlights. Public transport workers in Bangladesh struck over safety concerns. Airport workers in India struck to back their demand for improved working conditions. Egyptian plastics workers struck after three of their union's leaders were arrested when they announced a planned strike. Cambodian garment workers, who had been promised a bonus if they didn't join earlier strikes, struck when that bonus wasn't paid. Electrical utility workers in Nigeria struck over their employer's failure to implement a wage agreement. Israeli postal workers walked to protest planned layoffs and service reductions. And insurance company workers in Trinidad and Tobago struck to protest squalid and unsafe working conditions. Our Working Women Stories page carried links to stories about the low employment rate for women in Turkey, demands for equal rights in the workplace by Indonesian women, and the efforts being made by Canadian unions to ensure employment in the construction industry for women. Our Health and Safety Newswire carried stories about the discovery of asbestos in workplaces in Trinidad and Tobago, the funeral for a mine worker killed on the job in Australia, and reports of a cancer epidemic amongst firefighters in the United States. Labor Start isn't just about news. We also run online actions in multiple languages. We currently have 10 active campaigns, all of them sponsored by unions around the world. By joining one of our campaigns, you can send your digital solidarity in seconds and have a very real effect on the lives of workers on the other side of the globe. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.